Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very senior corporate leader from the world of human resources from USA, Mr. Horst Gallo. Horst, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ash.
Horst is the Chief People Officer of Orion Innovation, and today we'll speak about human resources. But before we come to human resources, Horst, tell me a little bit about Orion Innovation.
Okay. So Orion Innovation is a digital transformation company working across many different verticals. So industries, mainly professional services, financial services, sports. We have some very cool kind of client and what we actually work with. Mm-hmm. And we do everything around software development or product development to any digital transformation which companies actually are looking for.
Okay, very interesting. So let's come to human resources. And my first question to you, Horst, is, you know, when I started my life in the corporate sector after an MBA, which was in 79-80, there used to be a personnel manager and there used to be an industrial relations manager. And that has now evolved into a CHRO or a chief people officer. I'd love to get your perspective on how has this function evolved over the decades?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right that actually, I don't know, maybe 20 years or so ago, it was all about administration and compliance mainly. People were hired to make sure that they're the police officer of a company and working through some of the processes around that.
Yeah.
Especially in the last 10 years or so, you could see a shift with topics like engagement actually popping up, or more productive things where we look at culture and other kind of aspects around that. And now I think HR is really at the forefront of many of the things. And it's really about leveraging some of the data points, being involved in the business, and actually being a strategic partner of the line leaders. And I do think part of my job, and I think part of many of the CHRO roles, is now coaching the business leaders, not only in content around people, but in the content around the business, which of course is a big, big change compared to many years ago.
Very interesting. And the CHRO is now a very critical part of the C-suite of most large companies. What does the CEO look for from the CHRO?
Yes, so I think the CEO at the moment actually is looking for a partner when it comes to business who looks at the topics from a people perspective. Because I always think that an HR person is a business person first, because in the end of the day, we all need to understand actually how the business is making money, what is the objectives of the business, so that we can then try and find people solutions for the topics of the world around that. And I think that is one of the key areas. Of course, they're looking for coaching, for being a partner, for being a strategic leader, not just to think about from a people perspective what needs to be done, but actually how we can actually increase revenue or the profit line working with the business leaders around that.
Very interesting. And, you know, we've all come out or just coming out of the pandemic. And I know, speaking to many, many people, that a major pressure of most organizations was on the chief people officer. I'd love to get your perspective on some of the key HR challenges that have been faced because of the pandemic.
Yeah, so I think the pandemic actually was, of course, a very difficult thing for many people all around that. And of course, HR actually took a big drain, a big hit on that. But I think it was also a big opportunity because I think it positioned the chief people officer, the CHRO, in a very different light, because it was suddenly a very fast transition from all being in the office in most of the places to remote work. It had to be done very, very quickly. Leadership had to change. The focus now had to be on health, which was not necessarily the case actually beforehand. You needed a different style of leading and getting the work done. And of course, HR was in the middle of that because it was around people.
Right.
And of course, partnering then with the CIO and the operations team on how work actually gets done, rewriting processes, changes around that, but always having in mind What is the health aspect around it? How can I do that most successfully? How can I get productivity in the same way? What are the tools that are helping us get some of the work done around that? So all of these things is for me an opportunity, because actually put the CHO in the middle, in the center of many of the aspects around it. It was not anymore like a second thought, but really in the beginning.
Very interesting. And one of the outcomes of the pandemic has been the great resignation.
Right.
Do give me your perspective on why this is happening and what do you see as the future?
Yeah, so the great resignation, I think some other people call it as well, maybe the great evaluation. And I think that's probably a better way for me to call it, because during the pandemic, every one of us actually had a different perspective to work.
Yeah.
We actually organized ourselves in a very different way. Mm. Many people actually went back to their home locations. I look at India specifically, but that's the same actually in many Asian countries, but even here in the US.
Mm.
And they realized actually work gets done. And it's a different environment, of course, actually to get their work done and be with the family. So many people have started to reevaluate their priorities in life and found as well that, of course, they can have a balance between both. They don't need to go, like, for example, if I live in Connecticut, and of course, many people here travel to the city each day. And that's like 2.5 or 3 hours each day on commute. Mm. Now that it's not happening anymore, because, of course, work has shifted a bit. And we are seeing that change. I think the important thing for me is actually looking at as an organization, how can we facilitate that new normal? Because there's companies out there, what we see from our client base, who want nothing more than just going back to where they were before the pandemic.
Correct.
And of course, they have announced going back to the work kind of policies around that. And then, of course, people did not join. And there was lots of pandemic around that. And I think organizations still trying to figure out how that new way of work actually can be, how I can organize the work. What is the office? Because the office is not anymore a place to work. The office is probably a meeting ground, an innovation ground, a collaboration space, so that then people can go back and actually get the real work done at home or in other places around it. That, I think, is one of the things which is now changing a lot and, of course, having an impact. And it starts off all from the point about, of course, there's lots of opportunity, or at least there was lots of opportunity until now. Of course, we have to now see if we're going to get into a recession or not, because we can see already some of the signs that the area is changing. But after the pandemic, there was a lot of opportunity for everybody, right, because everybody looked into some of the areas. And then, of course, as an employee, as a person, you had this experience from the past and you reevaluated your life, where you want to be, how you want to work, what you want to do overall around that. And that, I think, led into many people making changes. And that, of course, is something what we as organizations need to look at and come up with the right kind of employee value proposition and facilitate these changes in the mentality.
Fascinating. And another question, maybe a little philosophical, but a lot of HR leaders look to their teams for succession planning in various functions. With so many people taking up the great resignation, what happens to succession planning? I mean, a big group of talented people have now decided to walk away and do something different.
Yes, you're right. It's actually an interesting discussion point, which we all had in my previous company, but also now around that, because there's an expectation, at least, or perception that progression is much easier when you're in an office, when you're not actually living remote all the time around that. But I do think that is maybe short-sighted. And we have to look at the work and the people actually around it, because the last 2 years have shown that people can have a big impact no matter where they work, no matter how they work. And that is, I think, the change is what we need to drive. And I think it's going to be not more people going back to the office, but more like making more travel, making more things around it. And I think companies need to be more open to the way some things actually are done, coming back to the succession planning, because if not, you're missing a lot of people. Because when you look at that population who actually moved out and doing different things now, it is exactly that population who are the next generation of leaders who have now decided to do some things differently around that. Absolutely. And you can't replace a full generation with the people who are coming afterwards.
Very well said. Very well said. And when you combine this with the gig economy, where people are actually, the young people are actually doing multiple jobs. What happens in your view to an individual doing 2, 3, 4 jobs, making much more money, but what happens to stability in large organizations?
Yeah, so I think it's the two things, right? It's two sides of the coin. So from a person perspective, it is an interesting kind of experience because, of course, they're creating flexibility for themselves. Mm. They organize work around their lives, not anymore like it was before, where you need to organize life around your job and the office space around that. And that, of course, we are seeing a lot. And because, of course, the opportunity was there as well in the last few years, I'm interested to see if that is going to change a bit, if really a recession or so is coming or what we are seeing actually in the place. However, having said that, of course, the other side of the coin is then when you look at that the EVP kind of part from a business point of view, you have people who you're trying to capture for multiple years in order to actually have stability, as you're saying. Mm. But I'm not sure if that is any more the case. Mm. The founder of LinkedIn has always said, like, you talk about this tour of duty. I think I like that concept a lot because actually you as an employee and the company actually go into an agreement and saying, look, I'm going to work for you on this project, on that part, the next 2 or 3 years time, because it actually gives me an opportunity to grow. It gives me an opportunity to do really cool stuff. Mm. And then after these 3 years, we reevaluate and actually say, do you have something else actually which fits both of us? Mm. And if yes, then we continue and go into another kind of part. Mm. And if not, then I go somewhere else and actually do that. And I think that's a very interesting way of looking at it, because I think it is a lot more honest to ourselves than actually maybe it was before, where companies were saying, come to us and you can have a career. But we know very much that if the business is trending down, that career trajectory is also not there because companies are doing the same things.
Mm. Very interesting. So now let me move to another part of HR, which is technology. Again, when I look back 40 years, the personnel manager's primary job was to make sure payroll was on time.
Yes.
Today, it's become a very, very technology-intense specialization. My question is, how is technology changing human resources?
I think it's changing it fundamentally because I always make that example when a CFO was walking in the CEO's office like 10 years ago. Mm. He would use data to tell a story and make a prediction. Mm. And HR would at the same time actually go in there and say, hey, if we do this, I feel maybe we get some impact around that. That is changing now because now the CHRO is in the same position with technology where we have to actually make as well predictions. I take proactive retention as an example. Mm. With AI today, you are able to predict very accurately, because we have done that in IBM actually before, 90% accuracy of what are people actually who are leaving, and you can take proactive measures in order to address that. I think that's one of the biggest changes. I think the other big change is that maybe because the changes are so fast, like 5, 6, 7 years ago or so, this whole technology space around automation, data analytics was coming up, but it was for a few, because it was not readily available. Now you have tools actually out there which are very inexpensive and they're readily available. You don't need a science degree in order to do that, but you can be doing it as a user.
Right.
You just look at Microsoft BI, where you can do a lot of the stuff actually around that. That, I think, is changing. The availability of technology, the understanding of technology, and then, of course, the usage of data has fundamentally changed. And that, of course, changes actually the role. But in my mind, it is really about using and leveraging that to augment some of the decision-making instead of actually giving the decision-making completely away.
Mm, very interesting. There's also, you just spoke a little bit about AI. I was speaking to some other senior leaders like yourself, and there's a lot of work going on managing talent using artificial intelligence. Tell me a little more on how you're using artificial intelligence and what does this do to the human element of AI.
Yes. So first, let me start off with the same comment. I don't believe that AI is going to take away the job.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in augmentation. And I think we have seen actually in recent history that we are trying to actually take away some of the decisions completely and let AI run its course. We we get exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. We get bad outcomes around it because mm-hmm. there's nobody actually questioning things, what is happening around it, especially right. around diversity and inclusion around that.
Right.
But if you're using AI to augment decision-making for the manager or for HR, you have a very powerful tool at your hand because you don't need to number crunch it. You need to actually look at some of the areas. I took the example of proactive retention, where over 3 or 4 years or so, IBM was able to save multi-million dollar of retention kind of costs because of that. And I think the other part for me, which I think AI is very, very powerful, if done in the right way, and that's really, really important, is it takes that subjectivity out of some of the decision-making, especially around hiring, talent management. When we look at how promotions are done or how hiring decisions are done, very often, of course, there's bias involved around that.
Yeah.
And if AI is structured in the right way, you can actually have that as a helping function to take bias out of the equation and get more balanced decisions. But again, this needs to be done in the right way. It needs to be open and transparent, because if you don't have that, you get into the other extreme around that. That, I think, is one of the main areas where AI actually can help an HR function, but also a business overall.
Fascinating, fascinating. My next question to you is on work from home.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of organizations are now almost mandating that, you know, work has to come back to the office.
Yes.
I'd love to get your perspective on what are the trends in work from home that you see?
I think there's lots of different trends, because I think it depends as well on the business model. So you have businesses and jobs which can only be performed, of course, in a workplace.
Yeah.
That, of course, is very clear that they have to go back and do that.
Mm.
The other extreme, of course, is that we see companies who are now saying, look, we are only fully remote. We don't have offices anymore because it is really about collaboration and transformation and so forth. Mm. And that actually works very well. Of course, it needs then to have specific efforts to put things in place for collaboration and for culture.
Mm.
Because culture, as we know, is actually better developed and better intensified by personal contacts.
Right.
It is very difficult to do over Zoom calls or even Zoom happy hours. That doesn't work actually in the
Correct.
Same way around it. So
yeah.
I think that's an important part. But I think many companies you will find are somewhere in the middle. And we're seeing that as well. If I look at the companies we work with from a consulting point of view, there's two types in my mind. There's a type who wants to go back to where they were before, and they don't even think about other ways, and they don't even consider that actually the productivity in the last few years was actually the same or even higher in some of the places. That, I think, is an area where they will face challenges around that, because we have seen already at some of the big banks were mandating people to come back to the office and nobody showed up. And then, of course, you have another problem about talent attraction and retention around that.
Yeah.
So in my mind, it is really about assessing the work you have and then come up with a medium ground. And I do think overall, hybrid is a great way to do that.
Mm.
And the hybrid decisions cannot be done at the top of the company. For me, the decisions need to be done at the team level where you get work done. Because some teams, for example, when I look at some of our project teams, they need to get in the beginning of a project when they do the client evaluation, when they do the intake of what needs to be done, because that can drive collaboration, that can drive innovation by actually doing that in the office. So the office space is really an innovation space. Then everybody gets back, do their work wherever they want to do it, because it's about programming, it's about getting the things done. And then at the end of that project, of that sprint, they go back again to the office and collaborate and actually talk about how we can present it to the client, what we can do better around that. That's the three notions. And that, of course, is decided there. In HR, for example, we have decided actually we come to the office 2 or 3 days because we want to meet with the business. We want to actually see how we can do hiring in a different way, how we can collaborate. But we know for sure we're not going to go back to the office every day. And I think that's a key factor. And every one of the companies actually have to make their own decisions around that.
And you see this not going back for a long period of time, or is it the short term?
I do think that that there's companies there who will never go back.
Okay.
But there's also companies they want to go back actually right away around that. And I think this is where we need to see where this actually overlaps with with the expectation of people as well, because everybody is different. Everybody has a different style. I love to go to back to the office a few days because I miss that personal contact, that connection, getting the things done. But there's other people who don't. And I think we have to find a way actually to make some of the things actually happening around that. And especially I come from a technology kind of background. I have always worked in the last 30 years or so in the technology environment. There is things which can easily be done at home because you don't have that distraction around that. Correct. So in that sense, I don't think that is ever going to go back to fully work. The office is a very different thing.
Amazing. So I've got time for two more questions. And my next question to you is that what happens if people don't come back to work on a full-time basis? What happens to the old management concepts of management by walking around and conversations by the water cooler and having coffee together?
That's an interesting kind of question around it, because I do think this conversations, these connections are super important. I think especially when we look at some of the cultures, India as an example, or some of the Asian countries especially, this is super important. I think we have to redefine a bit. This is why I was saying I don't believe in fully remote, because even if you have fully remote, you need to create this this environments where you have that water cooler kind of effect, where you actually have collaboration, connection around that. Right. Otherwise, it's very difficult as well to drive culture. Culture is something what, of course, people see, and you can't, it's very difficult actually to do that on a Zoom call. If you have a Zoom call every 2 or 3 days, that's very difficult. So I do believe a connection around that is much, much better. But of course, on the other side, and this is what we have seen when the pandemic actually struck, leadership and management has to be fundamentally changed. I don't believe that we have the same management and leadership that we had in the past. It's all about, in my mind, servant leadership, where you try to help, where you try to connect people, where you try to get things away from that. And it's not that hierarchical kind of structure around that. And then, of course, finding the places where you can collaborate, where you can connect. That's the, for me, the areas around that.
Fascinating. And my last question to you, Horst, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. You have had such an amazing journey over the last 3 decades in the world of technology. What would you say are 3 lessons you would like our viewers and listeners to take away from your own journey and from our conversation?
That's an interesting question. I think that the first thing is that change is the only constant.
Yeah.
So it means that you need to have a growth mindset. You need to actually constantly look out for what you can do differently, how you can learn. Yeah. Because if you don't learn, especially in today's world, your skills are very outdated. The other thing for me is embracing technology and especially data.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the advantages today, especially for an HR professional, is that you have data available, that you can do something with the data,
yeah.
and that we're not getting into this conversation and saying, I feel that this is going to happen, but you can predict. And then the third thing for me is also from an HR point of view, is about co-creation. In the past, we have always in HR been always very protective. We have tried to come up with a project. We have taken 5 or 6 people into a meeting room, did something, and then rolled it out to the whole organization.
Right.
That is not anymore the common approach. I think we have to work with the end user. We have to look at design thinking. We have to be agile. We have to work with the people, come out with a minimal viable product, and then actually iterate on that and actually do that together. If we don't do that, we're missing the boat, and we're missing actually the user feedback, which is so important. Because in the past, when we had programs in HR, it was all about driving utilization. But if you actually have the user involved in the beginning, you don't have to drive that, but you actually can get them on board from the very beginning.
Fascinating. Host, on that note, and your 3 lessons, change is the only constant, embrace technology, especially data, and you have emphasized the need for co-creation. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about Orion, about the amazing stuff you're doing in human resources. Thank you also for giving us an amazing perspective on the use of technology, the great resignation. You also told us about work from home and how you think a lot of organizations will probably just stay with a part work from home and part work from the organization. Thank you again for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much for having me, Ash. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom
of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.